The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
So the punt's back for the Premier League Week 2. Turns out Hull are great and Leicester are poo. Don't worry, I'm not going to do one. Don't worry, I just thought I'd follow up on DK's great poem last week. Dave Callan can't be here this week. He's at the Edinburgh Fringe learning how to be funny. So you're left with me, Lee Phelps, for a cameo with Derek McGovern, of course.
And whose Tom fringe Cohen. Is funny.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've had a fringe, to be fair. You well, chaps?
Very well.
Yes, very well indeed.
Excellent, excellent. We've got a cracking Premier League weekend with a Friday night feast of football to start us off. Everything's been all about Zlatan Ibrahimovic this week, and we've been a bit obsessed about him so far. Everything you see on Twitter's about him. He's scoring goals for fun, of course. So we thought we'd make a little ditty for Zlatan. Let's kick it off with this.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic is on the Man United pitch. Zlatan Ibrahimovic once gave himself as a birthday gift. It's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, no longer on Pep's Christmas list. Zlatan Ibrahimovic goes blast his head as scissor kicks. Look at Zlatan, understairs he can't be wrong. Here is Zlatan, talking in the third person. Beard of Zlatan, it's like an 18th century one. This is Zlatan.
The man can do no wrong in my book. This guy is an absolute genius. Did you see him reacting to his Man of the Match award last weekend? It was like just a pure disdain when he saw this brick that he was given. The betting looks like this for Man United Southampton on Friday night. Man United are 4-9. The draw is 100-30, and Southampton are 13-2. There's loads of enhanced odds. We'll go through them as we preview the match. Derek, let's start with you on this one. What's your view on Man United this season? For anyone who didn't catch the first podcast,
you have to ask. I mean, to be honest, asking them to play on a Friday night, it's a bit unfair when they're still getting used to playing on a Thursday night. It's just not right. It's the first match ever on a Friday night in the Premier League, although a few United games have threatened to spill over to that until they scored in added Fergie time. I don't know what to make of United. You know, it was a good performance at the beginning of the season against Bournemouth, but you know, they all suggested they were expected to win that one. You know, they look great on paper. They've got Paul Pogba playing this evening. He's 12-1, by the way, to be the PFA Player of the Year, and he will be. I'm already on it.
I can't believe that price hasn't come in. I mean, you know, it was shorter than that when he first signed.
Yeah, he's just a real. You know, even if he has a bad game, he'll still be Man of the Match.
Yeah, he'll look so imposing, won't he?
Yeah, he is. He's Patrick Vieira, but with more skill. I just think he's a sensational player. I don't know what to make of this game. Southampton have lost more players, but they do that every season and still make a decent fist of it. What I like about them this season is that they're setting up like a team ideal to back away from home. They've got Shane Long, and now they've turned Nathan Redmond into a striker of teams as well. Two quick players who I think will harm teams away from home on the break. And I'm not saying Saints are 13-2 a great bet here, because United could be anything this season. They really could be. But at both teams to score is over even money. And I think that's a sensational bet. I cannot believe that won't happen.
Yeah, it's interesting shout that. Just on Nathan Redmond, he scored in the opening two games of last season. So if he scores in this one, then that'll be a nice unique feat. He's one of the enhanced odds offers, 20-1 for him to score in Southampton to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Interesting, Derek says about the both teams to score there, Tom, because, you know, all the chat about Man United going forward, and, you know, they are, you know, it's scintillating going forward. Whether Pogba acts as a shield in front of the defence is open to debate, but, you know, they conceded against Leicester in the Community Shield, they conceded against Bournemouth. The defence hasn't really been overhauled, has it? They've added quality, but, you know, there's still creaks there.
Yeah, there is. You've seen, you know, quite a few teams do that on the opening weekend, seemingly in control of matches, and then they just have a momentary lapse. And I think almost every team in the Premier League is capable of that. And while obviously the signing of Bailey looks very, very good, and actually I'm not a big fan of Daley Blind, but I thought he did well last week. Man United strolled through that game against Bournemouth. They weren't really put under any kind of pressure, and they had the quality up top to score the goals. I think there's quite a few headaches still for Jose Mourinho to sort out. Mkhitaryan's got to come in somehow. Where does he get the best of Pogba? For me, you've got to let him maraud around the pitch. You can't restrict him into one of those defensive midfield roles, because you're just wasting half of his talent. And Rooney, you know, if Rooney's not going to play, does Mkhitaryan playing at number 10? Does Pogba even play up there with Ibrahimovic? I think there's quite a lot for Mourinho still to work out, but I think this is a game Manchester United will win. I know Southampton have had a decent record at Old Trafford recently. They're unbeaten in the last three trips there. But this is a different Southampton side. I think it's a weakened Southampton side. There's no question about that with the players that have left. And I think Manchester United will be far too strong in this game. I mean, they didn't, as I said, they didn't have to break sweat too much. And I still think defensively they've got enough to deal with. Probably the biggest threat now that Southampton pose is probably Tadic, you know, signed a new deal. But it's typical Jose, isn't it, this week? Who's he been after? Where's all the speculation been? It's all been about Jose Fonte, hasn't it, at Southampton. And it's classic Mourinho that the week before Southampton come, he's unsettling one of their key players and leaders at the back.
Some of the other enhanced odds offers around Man United then. Rooney to score and United to win was 13-8, now 2-1. Pogba to be shown a card. Of course, he was carded, I think it was 11 times in Serie A last season. It was 7-2, now 9-2. Rooney to be shown a card is 9-2. We've got Ibrahimovic and Rooney both to score at 5-1. Ibrahimovic to score and Pogba to be booked, 10-1. Some nice bets here. The kind of stats treble, over 2.5 goals, over 11 corners and over 4 cards is 14s. And Zlatan to score, Man United to win, 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 4-1. There's some great stats around Zlatan. He's obviously scored in both his games for Man United so far. He's got an incredible record in Ligue 1 last season. And Claude Puel, the Saints manager, if you see Zlatan come out, Claude Puel will be hiding in the dugout somewhere, because Zlatan scored 11 goals against Nice while Puel was manager, including two hat-tricks. So Puel won't like seeing Zlatan on the opposite side. Don't be surprised if he grabs a couple in this match. Just to recap then, Tom, you're going Man United win.
I'm going Man United to win. I'm actually going to disagree with Derek. I'm going to go for a Man United win to nil at 23-20.
Yeah, fine. And you're going Man United. You think both teams will score, Derek?
Yeah. I think United will probably win because, yeah, Tom's right. Southampton are a weakened team now. But I like the setup. I like Palace last season away from home, before they turned rubbish. I was always prepared to back them away, you know, because they had players who could hurt you on the break. And I think Southampton are set up like that now.
Yeah, both teams to score 21-20. And if you fancy Man United and both teams to score, that's a decent price of 13-5. The Saturday 12:30 game is Stoke versus Manchester City. 4-1 the Potters, 5-2 the draw, and Man City are 8-11. Sergio Aguero, of course, starting the season in fantastic form. Much like an unlucky driver, evades two penalties and then still gets the 3 points at the end of it. Stoke, notoriously slow starters in the Premier League, but they have had a decent record, Tom, against City over recent years. They've won two of the last four Premier League games against City after winning just one of the previous 12 against them. They've kind of been a bit of a thorn in City's side. I think they've only scored 4 goals against Stoke at the Britannia as well in the games that they've played there since they've come back into the Premier League, Stoke. Interesting match this.
It is. I think every year when you look at teams that are going to Stoke, and it's the oldest cliche, probably one of the oldest cliches around in the Premier League at the moment, but Man City are one of those teams, along with Arsenal, where you'd think they are going to struggle there, and they have struggled going to Stoke. They did spank them 4-0 at home, of course, and Mark Hughes has got a bad record against Man City. He's lost 6 of his 10 games managing against Man City since he left the club, and I think Stoke were okay. I thought Middlesbrough surprised them a little bit. Middlesbrough were a lot better last week than I thought they'd be, and I think Stoke, you know, they are slow starters, but I think Manchester City here, I saw elements last week of what Pep Guardiola's going to do, but it's going to take time. It's what we've already discussed, you know, in the pre-season podcast. We kind of thought that Pep is going to have an impact. There's no question. The money he's spent, he's got to have an impact. But I think it's going to take quite a bit of time. What I'm interested in this game is, can he roll up his sleeves? And can Stoke's players... I mean, people made some probably good profit off Stoke at times last year, especially when they went on that run around Christmas. But I still look at their talented forwards, and I'm not 100% I could back them every single week. I don't trust Arnautovic. I think he's a good player, but I wouldn't want my money resting on him week in, week out. Not like Aguero, Iheanacho have just scored, who's just signed a new contract this week. So I think Man City will get the job done, but I think it's going to be tight. I'll be looking at the draw at half time and a Man City win. I think it'll be a late one.
Derek, Pep Guardiola has won 30 of his last 36 league games in club management, but you've got to ask the question: has he ever been to the Britannia on a warm August lunchtime? No is the answer to that question.
There'll be a lot of people backing them at 8-11. Those punters will have been taken in by what they saw in midweek against in the Champions League qualifier. But I mean, don't fall for that, because that Steaua Bucharest team were abysmal. They would have struggled in League Two. I'm more interested in what happened on the opening day, and City to me just didn't look at it. They seemed sluggish. Maybe Tom's right. Maybe they are struggling to adapt to the new ideas from the manager. In that case, I wouldn't be backing them at 8 to 11 to win at Stoke, who've got a good record, as Tom says, against them. And Tom's also right. I'm sorry about this, Tom. I'm a mutual admiration society.
He used to do this to me all the time, too. Yeah. He always agreed with me as well.
You're spot on about Arnautovic as well. I mean, yeah, you know, on his day, he looks great, but, God, those days are few and far between. Sometimes he looks an absolute joke. But they are, you know, there's a good cast around them, isn't there? Stoke look an attacking side, a very attacking side. And I think 4-1 is a bit big, you know, I really do. Yeah. There's still doubts about City. I mean, one thing I would say to punters is don't be afraid to back teams away from home this season. There were more away wins in the opening weekend than there were home wins, by the way. And that happened a few times last season, so never be afraid to back teams away from home. And all the old adage about never back teams away from home with odds on, that's long since been consigned to the scrap heap. But I still think there are too many doubts about City at the moment. I still think they'll win the league, but it might take them a bit of time to find their stride. And I can't let Stoke 4-1 at home in a Premier League game go unbacked.
Yeah, a lot of draws in the head-to-heads between these two. I mean, Stoke's record is good, but they haven't won that many of them, to be fair. So if you're looking at the draw, that might be worth your while. So obviously, it doesn't need me to tell you that Sergio Aguero's in great form. 6 goals in 6 Premier League games against Stoke as well. Top scorer this calendar year in the Premier League, 18 in 19 games, and that's just in the league, of course. So yeah, if you're looking at a goal scorer and you fancy Aguero, then Aguero to score, Man City to win, 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is priced up at 5-1. A few other headline offers as well. Kevin De Bruyne to score, Man City to win was 12-5. And if you look at the Stoke side of things, Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win, 15-2. Shaqiri to score, Stoke to win, 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 14-1, now 16. Quick recap on your bets in that game, chaps.
Stoke 4-1 for me.
Aguero, even money anytime. Brilliant value.
Very good. Leicester versus Arsenal is the Saturday tea time game. Leicester 15-8, the draw 11-5. Arsenal are 6-4. It was all quiet at the Emirates, a bit like the old Highbury Library, until they went 4-1 down and suddenly found the voice with a touch of this. The biggest surprise, Derek, I suppose, was it happened so late in the game. You know, I thought the Arsenal fans might be chanting, "You don't know what you're doing," to Wenger after a minute or two of this game.
I thought it was aimed at you.
Well, maybe.
You've just opened the window, Lee.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you've been a long time critic of Wenger, Derek. Any regular listeners will know that. But this season, it's taken it to an all new level, isn't it?
The man is. What is he doing with his? Is he saving up for a rainy century? I mean. Go out and spend some money. It's not his dosh. I've had this theory about Arsenal fans because they've just accepted, you know, the rubbish that he's not rubbish football. I admit they've played some attractive football, but you know what you've been going to get from Arsenal season after season, and the fans have just meekly accepted it. And I've had a theory for a long time that they're the same easily pleased fans who fill the seats in the studio audience of Mrs. Brown's Boys. You know, I mean, you know, it's got to be. They've never raised a murmur until this season, and you know. But the thing about Wenger is this is what happens. This is what happens with Arsenal and why he keeps his job. He'll lose on the opening day of the season and, you know, he'll cop a bit of a flack. And then they'll go on an 18-game unbeaten run and then, you know, fans will start dreaming of the Holy Grail, a place in the top four. And then, you know, and then they'll fall off a cliff again, you know, come about February. That's exactly what will happen. And I can see that happening. And this time, I'm not saying they're going to be threatening for the title. There's not a chance of that. This is the poorest Arsenal team I've seen in a long time. But I don't expect them to be, you know, something headlong into, you know, eighth or ninth spot. I'm building up to the fact that Arsenal will win this game 6-4. I think it's a good price. I mentioned earlier, never be frightened to back teams away from home. Leicester only lost three games last season. Two of them were against Arsenal, by the way. And you're getting 6-4 for Arsenal to beat them this season when Leicester, on the opening day, looked an absolute joke. The most disappointing performance by title winners ever. I'd have said in that defeat by Hull. I think Arsenal are a big price here. I'm going to be backing them at 6-4.
Tom, I don't know if you saw on Twitter that there was a chap who'd already bought the Mahrez shirt with a number on the back, the lot, and he's going to give it to a charity shop apparently. But you could pretty much put a team together of Arsenal missed opportunities this season alone, this summer alone, of the players that they've missed out on. He just can't seem to get it right, Wenger, can he? And there's been some pretty critical stuff from the broadsheet journalists this week as well. No, he hasn't got many fans anymore, has he? He seems to be becoming almost a parody of himself now, doesn't he?
I think I know what his problem is. He said this week the checkbook's open, but we'll only spend it on the right players. The problem is, Arsene, you're using a checkbook to sign players. It's 2016. I don't think any clubs are going to take checks. I think when he tried to sign Vardy, they said, right, well, go on then, we'll do a bank transfer. No, we only do checks. No one's waiting for that to clear with the transfer window ticking down, are they? So I think he's stuck a little bit now, and it's almost like he's becoming more and more stubborn as every season goes on. It's almost like he wants to prove the point so much that he will not go back and actually just splash the cash. I mentioned it before already, but the Lacazette deal, just do it. He won't do it. You know, West Ham have had a bid turned down for him. They clearly want him. He would certainly improve their team. But he won't go and do it for some reason. So, I mean, I think Arsenal are in a malaise, and I think the problem is now it's really getting to the players. Yes, they showed good spirit to come back from being absolutely battered by Liverpool at the start of that second half. But I think Arsenal are going there. I don't know what kind of frame of mind the players are in. Yes, there's quality there. Koscielny should play. I mean, that was a joke last week, Koscielny not playing. Other players were out. I know Payet didn't play, but Koscielny, you think, with the injury crisis Arsenal had, the nerve of him to say to his teammates, well, I need a little bit more of a rest when it's the opening Premier League game of the season, I didn't understand. And I think Arsene Wenger, that's another example of him. That I think he gives all his players 4 weeks off. He lets every player have at least 4 weeks off. That's his minimum for a player to have off. Well, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, and he just won't do it. I think this game, I think Leicester will be out for a little bit of revenge. But I think it's both these teams are a little bit vulnerable. I think it's going to be wide open, a bit like the game at the King Power last year between these two. You know, we had 7 goals in that one. I would expect goals again in this one. I mean, Leicester had chances against Hull. They were not great, but they did have chances that normally would have been tucked away. I think Mahrez with the new contract as well, he might have a little point to prove. I mean, him and Vardy, you wouldn't rule out either of them getting on the score sheet, given that they've both been chased by Arsenal this year. But I think defensively, both sides look shaky. And certainly the strength in both teams is going forward. So I'm going for goals, and I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals.
Right. I tend to agree with you, just because the defences don't look too good. I guess you've got to have a look at, you know, the problem for Leicester, obviously, last week was that they suddenly found themselves in the unfamiliar position of actually being favourites to win a game, and heavy favourites to win a game, not maybe in betting terms, but in the mindset of people. There was still a very backable price in betting terms. This week, they do go back to being kind of the outsiders again, which they'll favour. And I know it's a bit of a mug bet, chaps, but the whole Vardy thing, turning down Arsenal and Mahrez as well, wouldn't be a big surprise to see them with a bit more of a spring in the step. Mahrez is 23-10 to score. Vardy is 29-20. And we know about the King Power. It'll be absolutely bouncing again, won't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Vardy didn't see him himself, did he? I mean, no. Even when he missed that chance, he tried to hit himself in the face, he missed. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it was. It just seemed like the zip had gone, the zest for Leicester had gone, and I thought it was a very worrying performance by them. It really was. For a title-winning side, to concede, well, to surrender so limply, I don't know, you can't judge a whole entire season on 190 minutes, but I think there are fears there for Leicester fans.
They had absolutely no swagger about them at all. They should have rolled into town, rolled into Hull City, and not really let them have a kick. But they didn't. They let Hull settle into the game. And I think if you let Arsenal settle into it, I just think it's going to be a really stretched game. There's no doubt Leicester will score one, possibly even two goals at the weekend. I've no quick doubts about that, because the way Arsenal play, they leave themselves wide open. I know they beat them twice last year, but that game at Leicester, it turned on a couple of moments, and it, as I say, it was so wide open. I can just see the same. I can see sort of high defensive lines, lots of space in behind, and both teams getting on the score sheet, but certainly plenty of goals.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be an entertaining match if that's the case. Let's move on to the Sunday games, starting off with the lunchtime game, the 1:30, which is a North East derby. Still got a North East derby. Sunderland versus Middlesbrough, 8-5 Sunderland. The draw 11-5 and Middlesbrough at 7-4. This may be crazy, but I'm predicting top five for both of these. Worst places to live in the country table 2016. That is actually true. I'm not being rude. They are both in the top five in 2015. My wife's family are from Sunderland, so I feel I can be a little bit rude about them. If you ever fancy going to this game, by the way, Sunderland versus Borough, cracking game. I know a lovely place to stay, Newcastle. No, I'm joking. Gateshead. Which way do we go on this one, chaps? It's a mouthwater to get us going on a Sunday, isn't it? Tom, you can kick us off with this one. Sunderland, of course, you know, almost getting off to a decent enough start. Borough got a point, and they need 39 more, basically, don't they?
Yeah. I was quite impressed with Middlesbrough. You know, I've tipped them to really struggle this year. I still think they're going to have a battle on, but I thought their signings had settled in well. Ramirez and Negredo seem to have a great understanding in that game and against Stoke. So I was quite impressed with them. I think they'll feel that they could certainly go to Sunderland and score. Sunderland, you know, when they're at home and the onus is really on them, I think they prefer, they've been in that sort of mentality of being underdogs almost. They like, I think the run-ins that they've had to survive over the last few seasons have come from the fact that nobody's giving us a chance. I think on Sunday lunchtime, all right, this isn't the biggest derby for Sunderland, but it's certainly one that they'll take. I mean, they would hope that, of course, it continues the way it was against Newcastle because they beat them every single time. So they would hope that sort of run continues. But Middlesbrough have something about them here. And I think it's a game in which Middlesbrough would certainly settle for the point, and Sunderland will be the pressure on them to get off, you know, get some points on the board after what happened at Man City. Because I didn't think they were awful against City, but it was sort of inevitable. David Moyes made negative substitutions, invited more and more pressure on, instead of being positive, because I think that's where Sunderland's big sort of strengths are. Although Sunderland have pulled off a blinding bit of business offloading Yunus Kabul for a fee this week. I can't believe Watford are actually going to pay money for him, so at least they've got him out of the door, and that will probably make them a little bit stronger. Interestingly, Sunderland's slow starters. I couldn't believe this when I read it. They've not won a league game in August or September since 2012. That's 20 matches in the first 2 months of the season without a single victory for Sunderland. Is there value in Middlesbrough at 7-4? Maybe, but I think this will be a draw, 11-5.
Very good. Yeah, it's hard to look past the draw, really, isn't it, Derek? One man to look at is Jermaine Defoe. He's you know, we know he's a cracking scorer. I think he needs one more goal to become the outright 10th highest goal scorer in the Premier League history. I think he's on something like 144 at the minute, and he's scored 20 goals since he joined last January. No other player in Sunderland's ranks have scored more than 5 in that spell, so a lot rests on his shoulders, Derek.
Mastermind, never passes. I think Sunderland have a better chance if he did learn to pass a bit more. I've mentioned this on the bulletin before. I despise it when a Premier League striker has a go himself when a teammate is better positioned and he gets credit for it from the likes of Alan Shearer. Oh, you've got to be selfish as a striker. No, you haven't. You've got to make sure your team wins. One of my big bugbears, that, as you will well know, Lee. I can't see anything other than a Middlesbrough win here. I was impressed with them last week. So I'm going to make fortunes this season by just opposing Sunderland every game. I look at their squad, and I'm not even sure it's championship quality. That's how strongly I feel about Sunderland. I think we'll finally see the back of them this season, thank goodness. Jermaine Defoe is their one shining star, really. But, I mean, you know, sooner or later, he's going to go off the boil, isn't he? Because he's about 90 now. Middlesbrough look as though they've got goals in them. And I think a 7-4 is a big price here. If Sunderland are going to score, by the way, I don't think they will. Because, you know, the problems last season have been exacerbated by the fact that they've got an even bigger clown as manager this year. But if they are going to score, I would always have a go anytime scorer for Sunderland on Patrick Van Aanholt, their fullback, because he looks their brightest spark when he goes up front. But Middlesbrough will win this. They're full of goals. It was a decent performance by them last week, and they've got nothing to fear by going to Sunderland.
So a Middlesbrough win for Derek and a draw for Tom. Let's move on to the final TV game of the weekend. It's West Ham versus Bournemouth, guaranteed to be last on Match of the Day in more ways than one. Bournemouth are 100-30, West Ham 10-11, and the draw 11-5. The opening game at the London Stadium, or the Olympic Stadium, as people still want to call it. Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 13-5, 7-2. Joshua King to score and Bournemouth to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 is 6-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 12-1. Bit of a stuttering start for West Ham, hasn't it, Derek? Yeah, obviously, the midweek draw isn't a bad result away in Romania, the team that knocked them out last year, of course, Astra. But last weekend was a pretty drab performance against Chelsea. They desperately need Payet back playing, and they need Kouyaté to start exerting some influence, don't they?
Well, I couldn't believe how bad they were against Chelsea. And when it looked like finishing 1-1, it would have been the biggest steal of all time. I thought they were abysmal. I really did. And, you know, that surprised me, considering that they played a few games in the Europa League. I thought they'd have been a bit cherry ripe for it. But they looked sluggish. This is their third game in 6 days as well. I know that they changed the side a lot for the Thursday night game, but still, you know, it takes its toll. I can't back them, my odds on here. Not from what I saw from them on Monday night. I thought they were really poor. But Bournemouth weren't much better against Man United. I mean, they got their backside smacked, to be honest. But, you know, we saw enough of them last season to know that they're full of goals. And a 10-3 to beat a West Ham side that, you know, they're not convincing anyone at the moment. I know that, you know, the Olympic Stadium should be up for them. You know, first Premier League game, it'd be a fantastic atmosphere, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But you still got to get the goals. You still got to go on the pitch and perform. And West Ham don't look like doing that at the moment. I'm going to go for Bournemouth here.
Right, yeah. It's hard to make a really convincing argument for West Ham, especially at the price, Tom, isn't it? As Derek's just shown. And with those goals, it could be anything. This one, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. I mean, I'm with Derek. I can't see them. The new stadium in Arsenal, Man City, Southampton. They didn't win their first games, you know, in their new grounds, and I'm sure you could probably find loads of teams that did. But I just think this stadium, I think there's a lot of bluster and PR from the London club, as we've got to refer to them now, that this is such a fantastic move. It is, without question. I think most clubs would have taken the opportunity, especially for the price that they've paid. But I certainly, you know, sort of reading things from West Ham fans and hearing them on the radio, I don't think they're particularly happy with the atmosphere and sort of getting in and out of the stadium. There just seems to be a lot of frustration about the ground. Even the price that they're having to pay for hot dogs and drinks inside the stadium, it just doesn't seem that this is a move that's really exciting the West Ham supporters. And I think it's going to play out on the pitch. And I think Eddie Howe will probably be rubbing his hands together and thinking, if we were ever going to play West Ham away from home, we want it to be the first game or one of the early games at this stadium. They beat them at Upton Park last year, and I think that was the result where everyone really sat up and took notice of Bournemouth. I've got a bit of a soft spot for them this year. I think they've got pace. I think away from home, I think they're a far more dangerous side. I think they find it really difficult to break down a team that sits sort of 7-8 players behind the ball, as Man United did for periods last week, but of course they got the goals to get in front. I think there'll be goals. They won this game 4-3 last year. Overs lands regularly in Bournemouth away game. So I think both teams to score and over 2.5 goals is where I'd be heading. But I'm with Derek. I think Bournemouth at the price look really good against a nervy and edgy West Ham, I think, at the start of this season. Difficult second season for them, I think.
Let's have a look at the non-televised games then, shall we? Burnley versus Liverpool is where we'll start on the Saturday afternoon 3 p.m. kickoffs. Burnley are 6-1, the draw 5-2, Liverpool 4-7. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 7-1. Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win is 5-2. And from the Burnley side of things, Vokes to score and Burnley to win is 14-1. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 14-1. Derek, we'll start with you on Liverpool. 4-1 up, Liverpool fans must have been just pinching themselves almost. I mean, it was typically a typically Klopp kind of performance from his Dortmund days, and we're starting to see signs of that kind of expansive play. That the worry would be that they kind of almost let it go. Maybe they just took the foot off the pedal a little bit too much, but scoring four goals at the Emirates is a fantastic way to start your season.
Yeah, it is, and Liverpool are capable of that. They'll be capable of that all season, but they'll also be capable of performances like they gave at Watford last season and one or two other grounds. And, you know, I expect them to win this game, but no way would I be backing them at 4-7. I think that's a criminally short price. I can't believe they're that short. You know, one thing you've learned about Liverpool over the last few seasons is that you know, they're worth backing when they're a decent price, but odds on, don't touch him with a barge pole, especially at home. In fact, I would sooner back Liverpool at odds on away from home than I would at home, because they've let me down too many times at Anfield. They've struggled to break down teams who go there and camp out. Away from home, it's a little bit more set up in their favour. But 4-7 to beat a Burnley side who, you know, okay, they've only just come up, but they won the championship in a canter. They're a bright side. You know, they've been at the Premier League only a couple of seasons ago, so they're not going in there like on your news. They know what it's about. I expect Liverpool to win this game, right? If they perform for much of this game like they did for a 20-minute spell against Arsenal, they'll wipe the floor with Burnley. But it's a big if where Liverpool are concerned. They're not a consistent team, and there's no way I'm backing them at 4-7, a team that's so inconsistent. So I'm going to go for Burnley here at 6-1. In fact, I'll scrap that. I'm going to go for Burnley. I want to oppose Liverpool, basically, at 4-7. So I'm going to go for Burnley with the start, because I'm still not sure. Yeah, that was a bad result for them last week against Swansea at home. You know, they were a big game for them. And I know they came back in the second half, but it was a bad result for them and confidence might have been hit. So I'm going to go for Burnley plus a goal at 7-5.
Interesting. There's a few interesting stats around the head-to-heads between these two teams. They haven't played that many times, but in their Premier League encounters, there have been four of them. Burnley have never scored a goal against Liverpool and have lost all four. So that's Liverpool's. I think Liverpool got 100% record against them, and no other team has managed that against Burnley. Mane scored 9 in his last 9 appearances in the Premier League. Tom, it's just whether Burnley can contain them and be disciplined enough at home to. They almost need to play this like an away team, Burnley, don't they?
They'll try. I don't think you can underestimate how damaging that result was last week. You know, I said last week that Burnley would have thought that was almost one of the perfect games for them to start at home, Turf Moor. Big crowd against a Swansea side, and you wondered how they were going to react, and Burnley just didn't do enough. And I think they're a pedestrian side, this Burnley side. Yes, there's spirit there, there's experience, there's players who've been there, you know, back in the Premier League last year, but their home results, especially towards the back end of their last Premier League campaign, were so poor. They tried to contain things, but they just kept losing 1-0, and they don't score enough goals. That was their big problem in the Premier League last time they were here. I think you're looking at this game, and I think if Burnley are to get a result, I think they've got to score 2 goals, and I can't back them to do that. So either with Derek, you could back them with a head start, but I think Liverpool will win this, and I think they'll win, and they'll be over 2.5 goals in the game at 13-10, because I can't trust Liverpool defensively. I think they might concede 1, but Liverpool, with that pace and that power, that is the one thing Burnley cannot deal with. And Swansea are by no means anywhere near having the quality that Liverpool possess. And I think they will be so buoyed by that victory at the Emirates last year. I think they'll go there all guns blazing. And, you know, Liverpool, it's sort of the 10th of September or so before their first home game. So, you know, if they can make a real winning start with all these games that they've got to start the season away from home. Remember, they've got Tottenham in their next game. But if they can go to White Hart Lane with 6 points in the bag, I think it's job done for them. So I think they win. I'm going to take a Liverpool win and over 2.5 goals at 13-10.
Next up, let's have a look at Swansea, the team we've just been talking about, playing Hull at home. Swansea are 5-6, the draw 11-5, and Hull are 19-5. I'll run through the enhanced odds as we go through the match. Obviously, Hull were with a kind of the team that everyone was cursing last weekend, scuppered a load of coupons across the week, or as soon as the Premier League had started, pretty much, with that 2-1 win against Leicester, defying all the odds, really, in terms of, you know, how many players they had left and all that stuff. No fresh injury concerns ahead of this trip to Swansea for Mike Phelan. They'll have a bit of confidence from that, Tom, because, you know, that kind of siege mentality idea that they almost turned on its head against Leicester, didn't they? You know, they're going to, you know, manage to just tough it out and then get that result. You know, you never know what they could do with that. You know, I'm not saying they're going to go and beat Swansea, but I'm looking at Hull more favourably than I'm looking at Swansea odds on.
Yeah, especially with, you know, not only everything that was going on last week, but, you know, the supporters were protesting in the stands, and, you know, they really had to sort of group together the players. I mean, it helped that Leicester didn't perform anywhere near their level, so it certainly gave Hull a bit of a lift. And a few of their players have talked about it this week, saying, look, you know, we feel like we've had to come together and be a real tight unit because no one's giving us a chance. I don't know, this is a tricky game. Swansea's record last year, I was quite impressed. I never know what to make of Swansea. You know, they were brilliant up to maybe 18 months ago or so. And then every week I look at them and think, you know, they're losing players, they lose key players, but they somehow produce the goods. I didn't fancy them last week at Burnley, but they rolled up their sleeves and were pretty impressive. And at home, they're pretty good against the bottom teams. It's one of the reasons they stayed up last year. They beat 5 of the bottom 8 teams at the Liberty Stadium. And I think Hull is going to be a different sort of containment job for them. I mean, I think this is going to be low on goals. I think Swansea might just edge it, but I'm not confident either way with these teams, which is why I would suspect Mike Phelan, doing the job that he's doing, he will be delighted to take a point. 4 points from their opening 2 games would do them, and I think the draw looks very good value.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on, Derek. If they got a draw here, Hull, then that'd be fantastic for them, to be fair, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. I mean, that result last week was ridiculous. I mean, it's why bookies, you know, spend 4 nights on in with foreign floozies in the Bahamas and that, when we're stuck in the rain in the north.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that lifestyle yet, if I'm being honest. But.
It was just a ridiculous result, and, you know, it must have a lunchtime kickoff as well. I mean, it must have wrecked every punter's weekend hackers. You know, I want to go against Hull here because I can't imagine Lightning striking twice. I look at their team and I just can't see it doing anything. I really expect them to finish bottom this season. But it's Swansea and their odds on, and instinctively every time Swansea have been odds on, I've backed against them over about the last 74 seasons. It's a real tough one, this. You know what? I've got a bad feeling about this game. I'm convinced that no matter what I back in this game, I'll lose.
Me too.
I'll go for under 1.5 goals at 2-1.
Let's have a look at Tottenham versus Crystal Palace next. The big news from Palace is that they've splashed out £32 million quid on Christian Benteke, which obviously is, I read a story saying it was the most expensive sign in their history. I mean, surprised that they even bothered to put that as the headline. Obviously, they've sold Bolasie to Everton for £28 million as well. So a bit of movement around Palace. The fact that they were kind of they spent so much on Andros Townsend had shocked me. Benteke, I mean, you know, before he went to Liverpool, obviously everyone thought he was fantastic, and he never quite worked at Liverpool, Derek, mainly because of the system they played. But if you adopt a more direct system with Benteke, he will score you goals. I don't think that's a doubt. As for this game, though, Tottenham are 2-1 on. The draw is 13-5, and Palace are 15-2. Tottenham are going to be an interesting watch this season, aren't they? Just to see kind of what they do after that capitulation last time round. Still got a cracking manager. He kind of adopted the Wenger approach, hasn't really strengthened, thinks he's got enough, you know, you can't really better what he's got at the moment, which is sometimes a little bit of a concern when managers say that. You always want them to strengthen or freshen things up. 1-2 at home to Palace. Palace were good away from home for a lot of last season, weren't they?
Yeah, a season ago I would have backed Palace because, you know, I said a million times they were a team that, you know, always be backing the big prices away from home. But the chief reason for that was a man called Yannick Bolasie, and he's no longer there. And you ain't going to get lightning quick breaks when you've got Christian Benteke on your side. I mean, you know, Palace offered £30 million, but it wasn't all up front, and Liverpool wanted the money up front because he said it's a lot better than Benteke up front. I mean, of the £30 million they offered initially, £7 million of it was dependent on Palace reaching the Champions League. Apparently Liverpool said, what, with Benteke in your side, come off it. I think he's a criminally bad sign, and I said that when Liverpool signed him for £32 million or whatever it was, and it's even worse now. I can't believe Palace have paid that money, but they added it in the bank from Bolasie. You know, they paid £4 million, I think, more for Benteke than they got for Bolasie, which, you know, is wrong. It's just plain wrong. Doesn't need me to every Palace fan will know that. The long and short of it is that Tottenham will win this game. I think Palace could struggle. I don't think the signings they've made are good enough. People are saying, well, Andros Townsend, he looked a world beater for England. And he did on occasions for Newcastle, but he still went down with them. I'm going to go for Tottenham here. I fancy them strongly.
Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win either 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 9-2. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win is 5-2. Tom, which way are you leaning on this one?
That would probably be my bet, the Harry Kane bet there. I also think under 2.5 goals at even money. Alan Pardew has, in recent years, and there's been a few meetings between these two sides. There was one in the FA Cup, of course, which Palace won. But they've tended to be low on goals at White Hart Lane because typically away from home against this Tottenham side, he tries to sit and he tries to make it compact. They did nick the FA Cup game earlier on this year, 1-0. But Tottenham beat them in the league before, again, 1-0. There were goals at Selhurst Park, but tends to be at White Hart Lane. This is a tighter sort of game. And I worry a little bit for Palace this year. I mean, I think the world's gone mad when Crystal Palace are spending over £30 million on a player, but that is it. And what about Jurgen Klopp, whoever at Liverpool is doing these deals to get rid of players? They must hypnotise, you know, opposition managers and chief executives, because the money that they've managed to bring in for some of these players, someone will be paying £40 million quid for Balotelli next.
Wolves, apparently.
Yeah, probably. I think Tottenham win. I think it'll be a tight match. It'll be a par score for Tottenham this season at home is always going to be 1-0, 2-0. Nothing really too spectacular, but they'll probably get the job done. So I think you'd be looking at unders on the goals, but I think Harry Kane to score in that enhanced odds special, and Tottenham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 looks very good.
Yeah, still waiting for his 50th Premier League goal, by the way. And he'll have reached it in 88 appearances if he manages it in this one. So that'll be the joint 10th quickest alongside Robbie Fowler. Interestingly enough, Crystal Palace have had a shocking 2016 so far, won just two of the 20 Premier League games. Crystal Palace, there are 11 points they've got this calendar year was fewer than Newcastle and Norwich, of course, who were both relegated. Not having a good time of it, Palace, but obviously spending to try and claw the way back into some sort of form. Let's have a look at Watford versus Chelsea next, shall we? Watford are priced up at 9-2. Chelsea are 8-11 and 23-10 the price for the draw. I guess the biggest surprise about Chelsea's win on Monday night was that we all got to see what a crazed fiend Conte is on the touchline. None of us knew that, did they? Amazing. He's going to be. I can't wait till Chelsea play Liverpool. They'll be able to power the stadium off them too if they hook them up to the floodlights. What about Chelsea, Derek? Obviously, going to Watford, you expect them to win this 8-11. Yeah. Might be a favourable price come the end of the season, but it wasn't overly convincing. West Ham weren't great, but Chelsea weren't scintillating, were they?
I liked that. I liked what I saw from Chelsea.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I did. I thought, when it looked like finishing 1-1, I was putting myself in the shoes of a Chelsea fan, and I wouldn't have been happy. Well, I wouldn't have been happy any time being a Chelsea fan. 8-11.
At least you've had expensive shoes on, though.
Yeah. Not like the ones I normally use with cardboard to keep out the rain. Chelsea 8-11, I think it's a good price. I was very impressed with them, you know, for large parts of that game against West Ham. And Hazard was just, you know, he was sensational again. He just looked different class, the man. And Watford, I don't know where their goals are going to come from, because their two main men seem to have been silenced, don't they? Deeney and Ighalo. They just look shadows of the former selves. I think they're going to struggle this season, Watford. And I know I was pouring scorn on you two for Dave and Tom for being big on Chelsea's title chances. I'm beginning to change my impression a little bit, because I thought they were very, very impressive against their West Ham. I'm going to go for Chelsea. I think 8-11, almost even money. I think that's a fair price to beat Watford.
Mm, yeah, Chelsea are 9-2, third favourites to win the title. City 2-1, Man United 3-1. And then you go to Liverpool at 7s, Arsenal at 8s, Tottenham at 12s before we get to the Champions at 50-1. All those prices available on the football pages at williamhill.com or on the app, of course. Troy Deeney and Adrian Ighalo are the subject of the enhanced offers, as you might expect, Tom. They desperately need them to score this season, as they did last year. And they were the reason that they stayed up, of course, and had such a good season. But this is a toughie, because I think Chelsea look like the sort of team this season who will be comfortable just sitting back and hitting you on the break. And with Costa, he's just going to, you know, we know about Costa. Derek loves him. We all love him. We love his style of play. Everyone just, you know, warms to him whenever they see him on the pitch, don't they?
Well, I think if I'm looking at this game in terms of the battle of the strikers, I would prefer to have Costa than the two Watford players, Ighalo and Deeney. I think the problem for them is they both got whopping new contracts, haven't they? There was a lot of speculation about them. Well, I think it happens. I think it's just natural. I think they hit the Premier League running last year. They were scoring goals. They were terrorising defences. They earned their big fat contracts, and it just kind of fades a little bit. And we talked about Mazzarri as well before the season started. He is a negative manager. He's a manager who will always put defence first, and I think this could be quite a negative kind of game. I mean, look, Chelsea have been doing well away from home in the Premier League. You know, since Christmas, Watford have only won 2 of their 10 home games. Chelsea have won 6 of their 11 away games, only losing twice. But Mazzarri has a good record against Conte back in Italy. He was managing Napoli at the time, but only lost 2 of 7 games against the new Chelsea manager. So maybe there's that psychological edge for him, but it ultimately doesn't matter about the guys on the touchline. It matters about the players on the pitch, and Hazard was absolutely sensational. He'd look great in pre-season. I think Conte's really got into him, and I think he's absolutely flying. 19-10 any time to find the back of the net, Eden Hazard. I think if he keeps going the way he's going, and he's consistent, I think he'll walk the Player of the Year awards at the end of the season. And Batshuayi as well came on and I thought did really well. So I think Chelsea are big threats. I think they're not going to let Watford have a sniff here, and I think Watford have been performing pretty badly at home. So I think it's a Chelsea win, but I would just put that little warning in that Chelsea just, I don't know, I think they thought it was almost too easy for them on Monday, and then they let West Ham in. You know, is there enough firepower just to score? I don't know whether Chelsea, I think they're going to be tight, but I still think they're going to concede goals. You know, I wouldn't put them down for many clean sheets this season. So I think a Chelsea win and both teams to score is where I'd had for a little enhancement. But I think Hazard at 19-10 any time is brilliant.
Speaking of Hazard, there's a great little video going around Twitter this week where it's a bit of a warm-up, and it must be the mascot there. Only a little kid. I mean, must be like maybe 3 or 4. And he's trying to get the ball off Hazard, and Hazard's just, you know, keeping it away from him. And the little lad runs at it full pelt. He drags it away. The kid falls flat on his face. Brilliant. And it does this about 3 times to him, Hazard. Finally kind of kicks the ball away, and the little kid goes to run after the ball, and he trips him up. Hazard just trips him up.
Oh, love it.
I mean, this is the guy who's blasted the ball at the ball boy, remember? I just don't think he likes kids. It's a brilliant, if you have a look for it, Hazard and kid, it's a great...
Is this a Michael Owen scenario, scoring against that kid and celebrating wildly?
Oh, he doesn't even say, he's just cool with it, Hazard. But it's a similar kind of thing. Maybe it's just a kind of, we'll get it out, you know, competitive dad kind of thing. But yeah, dig that one out. It's well worth looking at. Hazard to score and Chelsea to win, by the way, is 3-1, enhanced from 23-10. So if you like the Chelsea and you like Hazard, that seems to be the obvious place to go. Let's finish off with the West Brom versus Everton game. 17-10 the Baggies, 11-5 the draw, and the champions elect are 13-8. It's the first time I've had a chance to do that, Derek, and probably the only chance I'll have to say that to you this season. Everton. I'm never convinced by Everton, particularly Derek. Koeman's obviously come in. Started off really well though against Tottenham, and it looked like they might win that game. And now rumoured to be getting Joe Hart, of course, and others. The Blassie signing, I'm sure, will only bolster your confidence in them.
Yeah. Well, Blassie, Ashley Williams as well. Joe Hart will be a great signing.
Stecklenburg. I mean, having Stecklenburg, I don't know why they need Hart, if I'm being honest. But, they're the rumours on that Hart may switch from City to Everton.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be a fantastic signing for them. You know, at City, his head's gone, hasn't it? His confidence has gone. There's even rumours that his dandruff has gone as well. I'm all over Everton here. I think they'll beat West Brom. I can't have West Brom. As I said last week, I had a great result for them last week, but I look at them and think, how do they ever win games? It shows you how bad the Premier League is, apart from the top half dozen teams. In short, Everton will win, and you'll make a few bob back in Everton this season. I know I said this an awful lot last term, and they never won a game after I said it, but I suspect with a different manager, the signings they've made, they've lost John Stones, which is a blow for them, but they've got probably more defensive solidity with Williams in there instead of Stones. I think they'll be a tough nut to crack, and I fully expect them to win this game.
No one will be surprised at this stat, but since Pulis took over January 2015, West Brom have kept 22 clean sheets. Only Arsenal, Man City and Man United have bettered that tally in that time period, Tom. And, like I say, it's no surprise to anyone because that's what he does.
Yeah, their win last week at Palace had all those classic Tony Pulis ingredients in it. Four centre-backs in the starting 11, 38% possession, and they nicked the win, don't they? I mean, good start for them, but I'm with Derek on this again. I can see Everton going there and winning. Maybe Lukaku against his former club. I don't see many goals in it. I mean, the one thing you give West Brom credit for is their organisation. It's difficult to give credit for because it's negative and it's not great from a neutral's point of view to watch. But they will make it tough for Everton. And I think, again, Everton are one of those teams that are going to take maybe a bit of time to warm up. But again, they didn't perform too badly against Tottenham. That was a tough opening game for them at home. I think they'd have to be targeting 3 points. If they're serious about, being top six and there and thereabouts this season, Everton will have to go there and win and sort of draw West Brom out a little bit. Because still, West Brom, when I look at those players up top, Rondon, Berahino, Lambert, even Matty Phillips, who came in from QPR, one of their only signings this summer, there's nothing there that inspires me. When I look at Everton and look down the goal scorer list here, Lukaku, Balassi, Ross Barkley, Kevin Morales, Aaron Lennon, Delefeu, there are players there that are certainly capable of scoring and breaking the deadlock in what will be a very tight game.
Yeah, just looking at Lukaku, he scored the most goals for West Brom in any season when he was on loan there. He scored 17 Premier League goals. No one's ever bettered that in the top flight for them since the Premier League inception. But he hasn't scored or assisted a single goal in any of his last 9 Premier League appearances. That goes back to March 19th, of course, last season. It's his longest goal drought in his Premier League career, 9 successive appearances. So if you think that stat means that all things must end eventually, then him to score and Everton to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 6-1, or Barkley to make it 2-2 and Everton to win is priced up at 6-1. That's all the games, chaps. It's nap time. I don't know if DK mentioned this last week. I didn't listen right to the end, but we've got a lovely chap who's offered to do the naps table every week, Lewis Allen. Which is great of him, because DK wouldn't do it. So he's doing a nice little table every single week on an Excel spreadsheet. And I can tell you that in you two will be chuffed to know that Dave Kellner's £22.50 in profit and you two are both minus 10. He sent me his nap in, Dave, so I don't have to pick one, which is all good for me. He's going for, if I can find it, Liverpool and both teams to score. As his nap. I'll find that out for you while you two are telling me yours.
All right, you go first then, Tom.
I was torn between two. I'm going to go for a Liverpool win and overs.
You can't, you can't have Liverpool.
I know, you can't pick, you have to pick separate ones, Tom, so we can form a treble out of it. So you can't pick in the same game. It's bad that bad that DK's gone first. He's not even here. Should have given you two first. Okay.
Well, you had to, because he wouldn't have been able to put a replacement, would he?
I'd have picked a better one than that.
Oh, that's all right. I'm torn between two. All right, Aguero even money anytime.
Aguero even money anytime. The Liverpool to win and both teams to score, incidentally, is priced up at 5-2. Derek, so
yeah.
We're building a nice little...
Yeah, well, I'm nice tempted to go for Bournemouth at 10-3 to win at West Ham, but that's a little bit at this stage of the season, a little bit too speculative. I'm going to go for Arsenal, 6-4 to win at Leicester.
So Liverpool at 5-2 to beat Burnley, with both teams scoring the match. Aguero to score anytime at Stoke is even money, and he's got 6-6 against him, remember. And Arsenal to beat last year's champions at 6-4 comes out at 16.5-1, the treble chaps.
Good, nice
very
treble.
Nice. Very nice treble indeed. It's been joyful. I probably won't speak to you again all this season because you won't let me back on, I reckon. but thank you very much. We'll speak to you next week, and have a good weekend. Good luck with your bets, chaps.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Thank you very much to Tom Kerwin, to Derek McGovern. DK will be back next week, of course. You can download this at Audio Boom. It's available on iTunes. It's also being embedded into the Daily Mirror site, where Derek McGovern writes a column, and of course our very own Robbie Savage as well. So check it out online at The Mirror. If you're having a bet on any of the Premier League matches this weekend, then very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.